Harold, we hear everything you do. So either mute or shut up.
I think you put on mute, maybe. All right. So the topic for today is engagements, shiduchin. And the primary question is, does halacha recognize engagements as a meaningful halachic relationship? You know, is this like a made-up modern invention? Or does it have practical ramifications in halacha? So I'll take a quick survey of what you think, lead you on the way. Okay, so in the olden days, Eirusin was Kedushin. You gave the ring in front of two Eidim, and you said, Haret Mekudeshesli. They were legally married. Then they would have Nisuin sometime later. Right. But Kedushin, at least, was a formal relationship. Midoraisa, maybe if she's marrying a Kohen, she could eat Truma already from Eirusin. And anybody who tries to, right, somebody tries to marry her, it's ineffective after Eirusin. Right. And if anyone has Bia with her, they're Chayav Misa, because she's already an Eish Hasish.
Right.
Right, but what about this shiduchin, which is like, oh, the engagement, which is right, prior, to, a few months prior to Eirusin or Kedushin. What?
You have to do a kinyan. Okay.
Well, maybe it is a form of a kinyan. Well, maybe it's a form of a kinyan. Publicly saying that you're engaged to be married. Okay, but there he did Kedushin. He did the Kedushin for...
He was a shliach.
Yeah, he was a shliach. He was the agent for Yitzchak. For Yitzchak. No, it's not when he gave her those rings. That was like the Kedushin, they say.
Well, first he had to talk to the family to say if it was okay. He didn't
right, because he probably needed her the father's consent because she might have been a Ketana. So what do we think?
No, what?
It says pause. I don't know.
Kind of
okay, so what is this kinyan? So let me quote you an article from a professor at Hebrew University, and he just says the following: Min ha-mefursamotu, right? It's famous. Shel l'shiduchin engagements, what we call today erusin, not what the Gemara calls erusin. Ein mashma'ut hilchatit b'dinei ishos. So there's no real halachic implications for marriage. Ve'ein heim yotrim kol zika hilchatit bein ha-mishaduch l'mishadeches. It doesn't create any halachic relationship between the engaged parties.
Who is
that professor at Hebrew University? Okay, just commenting on the phenomenon of engagements. And I want to try to show that in halacha that we do have clear applications of our modern day engagements. Okay, so look here on page one of the sources. The Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis tells us
what does the word shidduch literally mean?
Yeah, l'shadech. Mm-hmm. To connect, bring together. So the Rav mangid al demekadesh v'shuka. Rav would give malchus to somebody who would,
one second, another thought. Don't we say miris u'shadech avanot?
Yeah, so...
some kind of concept from...
Yeah, there definitely is a concept, but is that... That's just because you shouldn't be doing non-Shabbos dika things on Shabbos, right? So maybe you shouldn't be, like, talking about...
Isn't the Gemara with the Metra, she asked them, what's the God? And they said, the Kadosh Baruch Hu sits and he makes shiduch.
Okay, but that could mean maybe that means that he makes them get married or he sets them up for each other. It doesn't mean that he like designs engagements.
No, but the concept of Shiva, what are you asking specifically?
I want to know if the engagement, when a couple gets engaged, when they get engaged, does that change halachically their relationship?
It's really at the halachic parameters, not at the concept.
Well, after we look at the halacha, I'm going to generalize to conceptually what does it tell us. Okay. So the Gemara here says, Rav mangid al demekadesh b'shuka v'al demekadesh v'biya. Right? If somebody tries to do kedushin in like a public marketplace, right? So you walk over, you go to the Palisades Mall, and you say to someone, "Oh, you're my wife." So Rav would give malchus for that, okay? Even though it's effective, v'al demekadesh b'biya. If somebody starts off their marriage with biya, even though it's a valid way of creating kedushin, v'al demekadesh b'lo shiduchi, and somebody who does kedushin without being engaged prior. Okay, so it's one of these first three cases where Rav would give malchus. Okay, why is Rav giving malchus for kedushin without shiduchin? Mitch, since you said it's a made up thing, why is he giving malchus if he went straight? The couple, they get together, they go to the chuppah, they get married. Rav would give them malchus. Why? Because they weren't engaged prior. Why is he giving malchus, Lee? But what it, I mean, so we'll see. There's another version in the Gemara here. The next source, the Gemara quotes Nehardai, who have a different variation. Bekulhu lo mangid rav, ela al demekadesh bebiya belo shiduchi. Right?
She didn't consent. That's what the problem is. That's why you need shiduchi.
No, but she consented at the kedushin itself. Right? She says, Hariad mikudash esli. She says, yes. He gives her the ring. So Rav would still give Malkus in that case. Okay? So the Nehardai have a different variation. They say, Bekul lo mangirav el de mekadish bebiya belo shiduchi. The only problematic case is if he does kiddushe bia without priorly being engaged. Even if he does kiddushe bia with an engagement prior, that's also problematic because it's a form of pritzus. Okay, so you have three cases in the Gemara. The first case says any kiddushin without a prior engagement is problematic, even if it's like in a hall, under a chuppah, with a ring. The second view in the Gemara is that if you do kiddushe bia without shiduchin, that's problematic. The third view in the Gemara, right, maybe this view that shiduchin is meaningless, it says that even if you have shiduchin, kiddushe bia is problematic. Okay, three views in the Gemara. So what do we have to say about this?
What's the difference between the second and the third?
Okay, so the third case says that shiduchin doesn't help you. Meaning if you create your marriage through bia, you're going to get malchus, even if you had an engagement 12 months earlier. Right, and that expresses the view that a shiduchin doesn't change anything. Right, kiddushin is when the relationship begins, and nothing that you do prior can change that.
What is the definition we're using for shiduchin?
Okay, so shiduchin will be they get engaged, and he says, "Do you agree to marry me?" I mean, at some point later in time, we're going to be engaged to be married. She says yes, and they have like a public celebration of their engagement.
But it's not kiddushin.
It's not kiddushin. Kiddushin is when he gives her a ring and says, "Hey, I'm kiddushesli in front of two edim." That's when the iser eshes ish kicks in. It's not kiddushin. So there's kiddushin, then there's nisuin, but there's something prior to both of those, which is shiduchin, right? When they're engaged to be married.
If you break the shiduch, is there ramifications?
Okay, are there ramifications to breaking a shiduch? Just to, if you look ahead to page 10, just for 1 second, the third source on the page, you see it says Keser Rosh Simen Kuf Tesvav in blue. Yeah. So this is a Talmud of the Gra reporting about the Gra, and he says Amar Rabbeinu HaGra she yoser nachon haget piturin es ishto kishelo timtza chen be'enav. The Hebrew syntax here is a little poor, but he says it's better to give your wife a get when you don't want to be with her anymore. Shehatorah hitira, the Torah allows you to back out of a marriage with a get. Milevatel tenayim b'tekias tkaf, and to back out of the agreement to get married, which you effected through a handshake, right, a formal agreement. Tekivan denaset kias kaf min hashemayim. Right, once you agree to get married, then it's already in the hands of Shemayim, and you have no legal way of backing out of the engagement. But once you're married already, then the Torah gives you a valid means to back out. Okay, it's a kind of a problematic gra, because everyone thinks exactly to the contrary, right? Obviously, better to break off the engagement than to break off the marriage. The Gra is saying, no, once you give your word as a commitment to get married, the Torah doesn't give you any way to back out. But once you actually are married, then the Torah says, oh, if it's not going well, get divorced.
Using Tanaim with, you know, with that capital letters, or do they mean it loosely?
So it used to be that. So Tanaim were like the agreement to get married, the conditions of agreement.
So is Tanaim different than engagement?
No, so right now I'm assuming that they're the same thing, but we'll see this expressly later. Okay, but this is the Gra expressing how. And Mitch was saying earlier how in like Me'a Sharim even today, right, it's a big deal to break off an engagement. Okay?
So it's like an oath.
Yeah, it's a binding oath. Exactly.
Like an oath.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see in the times where we've shown them, they made it explicit. Like, oh, we promised to go through with the shidduch, and like I'm not a man of my word if I back out of it.
And shidduch okay? Just using as a
engagement.
Engagement. In today.
Yes. We'll see where Moshe is explicit about that later on in this year. So I think we could say the following. We see from the Gemara on Daf Yed Beis and Beis, okay, not according to the last view, but according to the first views, that Shiduchin at least changes the way we're going to see the Kiddushin, right? It's problematic to start off with Kiddushe Bia, but according to one view, if you have Shiduchin prior, then the relationship doesn't begin with Kiddushe Bia because it really started off with the engagement, okay? According to the first view in the Gemara, Shiduchin is even more than that. It's problematic to start off a relationship with regular Kiddushin. It's problematic to start off a relationship under the chuppah, right? Really, you should start off with shiduchin. Mekadesh below shiduchi, you get malchus. Okay? Why might that be? So the Rambam says, look here in the third source on page one. So the Rambam says, obviously, you could... the third source, Halacha Chaf Beis. The Rambam says, obviously, you could do Kiddushei Shtar or Kiddushei Bia. But then Chaf Beis says, V'chein ha-mekadesh below shiduch, if you get married without an engagement, O ha-mekadesh b'shuk, af ha-pi she-kiddushav kiddushin gimurin, even though the kiddushin is fully effective, makin oso makas mardus, kidei shelo yehei davar zeh hergel iznus. Right? It's almost... It allows promiscuity to be common. The yedamel kedesha shahaisa kodem matan Torah. It's like this iser of kedesha, which existed kodem matan Torah. Whenever someone wanted to have relations with a woman, they would just meet her on the side of the road, and they would consent to having bia. So the Rambam is telling us that to start off a relationship on kedushin, with just kedushin, is similar to having like a free, open relationship like they had before there was a concept of marriage. Okay, so you see that shiduchin is a pretty important concept. Good. But again, so far, it's only the shiduchin changing how we're going to view the kiddushin. Right? If you just have kiddushin, it's like you had no relationship prior. It's like kedesha kodem matan Torah. If you have shiduchin, then it becomes like a formal relationship over time. Turn here to page two. Yes?
It's difficult to understand how the Rambam inflicts a bodily
right, but that already comes from the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, because the Gemara said that Rav Mangid al Demekadesh below Shiduchi. The Rambam is interpreting that Gemara.
So that must be a situation where the bia occurred without the consent of the woman.
It's not even a case of bia. It's a case of Kiddushei Kesef. I mean, it's problematic to just walk over to a woman without a prior engagement and say Hariat Mekudeshesli, even if she consents.
I give the same answer. It's without consent.
No. Not even with consent.
The shiduchim is with consent. The shiduchim is her opportunity to say, "I agree to marry this man."
No, but she could say no to the kiddushin, right? She could say no right then and there, and it's meaningless, right? There's no kiddushin now.
Because it's harder in the case of bia to understand. It's easier to understand that that's occurring without consent, and even with the. Kesef, he puts a fruit on her hand and says, "You're mine." When does the consent occur? Does she say?
Yeah, she says. She nods her head and says yes. We'll see this next case, Harold. You'll see, takes a stance on consent issues. Okay, but in the other direction. Okay, so look at this next case. Okay, let's turn here to page two. Where you see Kidsha Begezel Dida. The blue section base. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph tells us the following case. Okay, so a certain woman was selling handkerchiefs. Asahu gavra chatav varsecha minei. So a guy came, he grabbed a handkerchief from her. Amrilei, havaniyalei. She said, give it back. So Amar la, iyahivnalech mikadeshesli. So he said, okay, I'll give it back to you if you agree to marry me. Okay. Shaklasei v'ishtike. She took it back and she was silent. So should we interpret her silence as consent to his proposition? So Dr. Stein, you're saying that's absurd, right? That's what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Nachman, Yichola Lemeimar. So we do say Shtika Kehoda, but here she'll say, In Shakli.
Okay,
good. Here she'll say, In Shakli, Vididi Shakli. She'll say, no, I just took back what was mine, so clearly this could not have been a good Kiddushin, right? Esve Rava L'Rav Nachman. Rava challenges this from another Brisa. And says, Kidsha begezel v'chamas v'gneva, o shechotaf sela miyada v'kidsha. If somebody goes over, grabs a coin from her hand, and he gives it back to her as kiddushin, mikudeshes. So one case, it seems like if you grab something from the woman and give it back, so we say it's no good, because she could always say she's just retrieving her item. And the other case, it sounds like it is good. So the Gemara distinguishes between the cases and says, hasam b'dishadich. The case where the kiddushin is effective is a case where they had a prior engagement. So if you go over to your fiance, you grab something from her, and you say, oh, and she says, give it back. And you say, oh, agree to marry me if I give it back. This will be the Kiddushin. And she's silent. Then we'll interpret her silence as assenting to the Kiddushin. Why? Because there's a prior engagement. But in the other case, where it's no good, that's because they had no prior relationship. Well, this is the opposite case of your point of view, because this is a case where this is a case where the Maisa Kedushin itself is ambiguous, but we'll interpret it as a Kedushin with consent if she expressed her willingness to get married earlier.
But if she didn't express her willingness explicitly, this is a coercive situation where she's unable to give consent.
No, so everybody agrees, Harold, in this case, if she said yes, I really want to get married to you.
No, I'm talking, no, Shtika. Shtika is a coercive situation because he stole her property.
Okay. So Shtika, I don't know if it's a coercive situation or it's just it's an ambiguous interpretation. It's an ambiguous.
A man takes her property and she says nothing. There is no circumstance under which that can be consensual. No circumstance.
Well, she's quiet. He said, I'll give it back to you if you agree to marry me. Yeah, she should have said, no, I'm not going to marry you, but give it back. It's mine.
She was too shy. She was too intimidated.
Okay.
Only if she'd already agreed to marry him.
Right. So look. What about it? Right. So look here at how the Rishonim interpret this.
Now, we have a situation where a guy, the woman could give something to the guy, maybe he's a chash of a guy, and that will be considered.
But that's different already, because this is a case where we just have an unclear Maisa. Right. She was silent. If they had an engagement prior, then we'll interpret her silence as consent, right? Because she consented earlier. And this is what Harold's pressing us on. Right. So look at this. Rashi makes this explicit. She already consented to the marriage earlier. The reason why she was silent is because she's agreeing. Okay, look here on page 3. The Tosas Riyaz Zakein has an even stronger formulation. We already have her consent from the engagement. V'su lo yachla lememar didi shakli. She can no longer claim that she was just retrieving her item. U'mistavra afal pisha shidich ze kama afilu kodem shegzala. Even if the engagement happened months before this grabbing case occurred. V'hatam dehoil v'kfar ratza lehiskadesh lo b'toras kidushim natlam. Since she already consented to the marriage, she's clearly accepting it as part of the marriage. V'su lo matzi lememar shalonis ratzis. And she can no longer claim that she wasn't consenting. But before you ask on Tosfos Riyazaken, I just want to take out of this that here it sounds like we can interpret the Shiduchin as the parties giving their consent for the actual Kedushin. Mm-hmm. That allows us to interpret a later Maisa as a Maisa Kedushin without their expressed consent. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not just like as in the first case where the Shiduchin allows us to view the Kedushin as the continuation of a prior relationship. Here the Shiduchin allows us to treat that act as the consent for a later Maisa Kedushin. Yes?
So you could distinguish those three, particularly the words, the Sulo Yachla Lamema Didi Shakli.
Yeah.
You could say, yes, I consented, but you give me something of yours. I want to be married to you, but what, you're going to take my thing?
Yeah. Oh, man, you could say.
What kind of marriage you want?
Right. I mean, you could say that. Right.
So.
She shouldn't forfeit her right to retrieve her item. Correct. Yeah, so maybe something even stronger is going on here, right? So look
at the end of the day, what he's really saying to you is, because of the shidduch, there was a meeting of the minds, there was going to be a little more makeup at the decision.
Okay,
that's
so
all it really means.
Yes, this is.
And if there was no shidduch, you'd have to be a little more machmir, but that's it.
Okay, so look at the Baha'i.
You don't learn anything from that.
No, I think to the contrary, you learn something even stronger from this. We'll say that. How serious the Maisa Kedushin itself has to be is contingent on whether there was a prior engagement.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So look at the formulation of the Bahag in this next source, Sefer Halachos Gedolos. Again, he's commenting on this Gemara. Ilo havin mishad chalei min kamin hachi lo havin kedushin. Right? If there was no prior engagement, this is definitely not a Kedushin. Da'aminon yachal meimar lo in shakli v'didi shakli. I'm just retrieving my item. Vi havin mishad chalei min kamin hachi in havin kedushin. Why? We say that anything is good enough for her kedushin, right? It's almost as if, like, look, the inertia and the momentum of the relationship has shifted. Once they have shiduchin, once they have the engagement, will interpret even the smallest interaction between them as a Maisa Kedushin. Right? Nichala de Tiknile. We know she wants to be a, have Kedushin. And therefore, Bechol Dehu. Sorry. Nichala de Tiknile Bechol Dehu. She wants to be married even with the smallest thing. Umigmar Gamar Ba'akne Nafsha. Right? And she'll agree to give herself away with this. Even this tricky Maisa Kedushin through the stolen property. Right? So we're changing, we're lowering the threshold for what will be considered a Maisa Kedushin because of the Shidduch that happened earlier.
I am okay with this, that she didn't say yes, so we interpret it like it's yes, but I still say she reserved the right if she said no.
That she should be able to object. Okay. But he's, you notice how, look how strong his last words are. But Afa gav de lo amr in, kimad de amr in dami.
That's okay. That's right. Okay.
You're saying if she expressly
say no,
says no, then that should be. And he might agree with you. He might agree with you, right? If she said, right, she said, no, I'm backing out of this whole thing since you stole my handkerchief, then he might agree.
Back out. Like, I still want to get rid of it. Give me something
for real. It could be.
I mean, I'm worth it. I'll give you money.
Maybe it was a very nice handkerchief.
I would
yeah. She's selling scarves that, you know. Okay. Let's look at a third area where Shiduchin is effective, but again, not ineffective per se, but ineffective in how we interpret the later Maisa Kedushin. Okay. So in Simon Gimel here, we travel back in time 1,200 years to Iraq and Iran and the yeshivas of the Gaonim, and the following story happened. Okay. Visha Alta. Maisha Shahaya Bim Komenu, story happened in our place. Reuven Hayulo Shte Banos. Reuven has two daughters. Vishidech Shimon La'achas Mehem Vinisratzalo. Okay, so one of the daughters had an engagement to Shimon. Vekacha Minag Bim Komenu, Uvishashi Hurotza Lakadisha Sanara, what do we do? In Bogarasi, if she's older than 12 and a half, Mareshes Esavia Lakabil Kidusha. So not like we do where the girl herself accepts the Kiddushin. But the minhag was that she would give her father like power of attorney to accept the kedushin on her behalf. They would all go to shul together. V'im ketana hi mekabla kedusha midaito kamin kacham. If she's a ketana, she accepts it herself with her father's supervision. Uvayin hakol lebeis haknesa shem espalel shama avi hanara. They go to the father's shul. Mekabla kedusha bito beis haknesa. Okay, this is normally what happens. Uruvein zeh haya talmid v'zokin. Okay, so the father of the kala was a scholar. Uvo hatamidim v'hakol lebeis hamedrash v'amad Shimon mimkomo v'nasan kedushin l'Reuven. Chassan gets up in front of the shul. He gives the kedushin to the father. V'hayu hatamidim b'nei Rabbi Nasan Yoshin b'tzidan. All the tamidah ha'yeshiva are sitting there. You know, they're looking to see what's happening. Pasach Shimon v'amar tehei bitcha mikudeshes li b'tabas zu. Your daughter should be married to me. Problem? He's doing Kedushin. Bitcha mikudashesli. Problem? How many daughters did we say he had?
Oh, yeah,
two. He had two daughters. So, v'amru lo hakodesh, all the Talmidim started screaming out, Paresh, Paresh, clarify, which daughter are you marrying? Kemodalid v'hei pamim, they said this like 4 or 5 times. V'lo sam libo lidivrehem, and the Chassan didn't realize, shenival b'amdo lefnei ha-Talmid lefnei ha-Kol, he was so rattled. He's standing there in front of the whole community, right? Poor guy. La'achar sheyasha bimkomo. Amr lo atamidim sheyoshin b'tzidah. So Chassan sat down. And of course, all the atamidim go over to him. They say, Tol mi menu shnei gitin. You have to write 2 gitin. L'shtei b'noseich. She'shtei ha'nesru alav l'fisha l'opir she'ez main kiddush. We don't know which one he intended to marry. He just said, Bitcha mekudashesli. You accepted it. It's a suffix. Which one he married. Alright. Well. They gave the father, he gave a ring, he said, Habitcha mikudashesli. And everyone screamed out, you know, which one, which one, which one? But he didn't chap why everyone was screaming. He thought they were screaming Mazel Tov. And now then he walks down, he thinks he's married, and they say, oh, you have to write 2 gitin. Okay? I'm just going to say, it's a lot better than what's going on today in Iraq and Iran. So.
Well, why does he have to write 2 gitin? He wants to marry at least one of them.
But it's only a Safek Kedushin. But it's only a Safek Kedushin, because we don't know for sure that he married her. Okay? So, V'heshev Reuven.
What if he said, this is the one I wanted?
So that's what's going to happen. I mean, afterwards. And not only that, he was engaged to one of them.
Yeah.
Right? So V'heshev Reuven V'amar Plonis biti kidesh. Of course he is makadesh the old, the one he was engaged. V'alpi shelo pirish achshav lifneihem, even though he didn't clarify now, hari edim shelo shidech el leplonis. What do you mean? We know he's engaged to this one. V'amdu ha'edim v'heidu shelo shidech el leplonis. And the edim said, yeah, we were at the engagement party, we saw. V'af shimon amar, af shimon anava amar, lo kidashti el leplonis. Right? The chassan himself said, of course, I had in mind for this one. Right, I was just too startled to specify. So heshivu atamidim va'amru, afal pisha ha'edim ha'edim sheshidachta plonis, v'adas kach kidashta, kivan shelo pirashta shma, ela amra bitcha mekudeshes li bistam, v'ar niskiku lecha shtehem, v'shtehen nesru alecha, v'tzarchat l'shne gitin. And why? Below od ela shel moli ha'yisa rotza lachzar ben b'cha min plonis zu yocholata liton v'lomar lo kidashta ela plonis. If you wanted to back out of the engagement, you could have just backed out of the engagement with your own word and did a kiddushin on the other sister. Right? So you're claiming that the fact that you had shiduchin should allow us to interpret your kiddushin as going on the engaged girl, but it's easy to back out of a shiduchin. Right? You could change your mind and do the you like the sister better. So the shiduchin here is meaningless. Okay? And he says, V'afal pi sheberishona shidachta biplonis, chazarti bi, you could have expressly claimed that you backed out of it and did kiddushin with the other one. V'hora l'dabesh lo p'rashishma, etc. Okay, so Talmidim aren't accepting it. They send the shiloh to Rav Sajagon. Rav Sajagon says, yeah, it's pasha, you require two gitin, because we don't know which daughter you had in mind. Okay? Mitch, you should like this. Right, because if you think that engagements don't really determine anything, they're halakhically meaningless, then of course you can't appeal to the shiduchin as a consequential here.
So
right?
What is the shiduch again from a formal point of view? It was in front of Adam, it was something written, it was...
You go to the Vart, and you know, he gives a Dvar Torah, and he says, you know, all these beautiful things that the Torah says about Trumos, same thing is true about my wife. Or however the Dvar Torah went, right? Now this is the Gaonim. So the Gaonim don't want to invoke the Shiduchim to clarify the Kiddushin. By the time we get,
how could it have been a Kiddushin for the daughter who was not involved in the Shiduchim and didn't get consent to the Kiddushin?
So it could be a father has the right to marry over his daughter as long as she's a Ketana or a Nara.
The father consented in behalf of daughter A. When he comes to the Beit Knesset and says, Harei al Mikudesh Jitli, it's not conceivable that he's referring to daughter B, because daughter B meant, and the father did not consent in behalf of daughter B, so it has to be daughter A. So the whole example is...
I guess we don't know. It's a question whether we could rely on the father's, you know, testimony as to his as to what he had in mind during the kiddushin after the fact.
The example, though, is explicit.
Well, this is the case, we're right, where she's a ketana or a nara. If she was already a bogeres, then the daughters would determine everything.
No, but it says mashis
is right. And in this case, the senior daughters would give power of attorney to the father. Yeah. To the shidduch.
Referring to daughter A, and daughter A consented to the shidduch.
Right. But he's saying that to consent to the shidduch is meaningless vis-a-vis consent to the Maisa Kedushin. Right? That's the whole premise of the Gonim.
Yes, but the Gonim are referring to... The Gonim are creating confusion when no confusion exists.
Okay.
That's my point.
Well, you'll see. The European Rishonim are in agreement with you. So, look here at
because they're much more sensitive.
Okay. Right? So the rush here in Kiddushin and the Tur Paskin. Look at the Tur who's summarizing the rush. The second source on page 4. V'chein im shidech bito hagedola. So if you engaged off your older daughter. V'hayilo banos acheros. V'amr lo hamashadech bitcha mekudashesli. Again, the parallel case of the Gonim. V'asasa also a shliach l'kabel ha-kedushin. Again, the daughter made the father a shliach to mekabel ha-kedushin. Ein daito al ha-cheros. Right? We know that clearly the das is for the daughter that was engaged. V'hava mekudesh is kedushin v'adoyin. Right? And the kedushin are surely valid. So in contrast to the Gaonim, who are saying that we can't use the shiduchim as a way of disambiguating the Maisa Kedushin, the Tur and the Rosh say explicitly, right, that we know that the Das could only be for the daughter who had Shiduchin. So here, once again, we have a case where the Shiduchin will determine the way we interpret the Maisa Kedushin. Let me look at one final case of this phenomenon. The Orza Ruah in Chelek Aleph, Simen Tafshin Samich, has a phenomenal shita, where he says, look, usually we require Edim on the Maisa Kedushin. Right? You always require two Edim to be present. They look at the ring, they say, is it a Shavar Pruta, and they make the Kedushin valid. The Orzerua says something phenomenal. He says, if you have Edim on the Shiduchin, so two witnesses saw them have the engagement.
They have to be designated?
So, most Rishonim don't think you don't have to designate Edim in general. Okay, most of them don't think you have to designate Edim. But a lot of people from the community are there at your engage at your vart or your chaim. And then you send a package. What? Okay. So not it's not right. It's not because they disqualify everyone. And then the chassan goes over to the kala privately without Edim. And he says, Hariad Mekudeshli B'tabas Zu. He says that is sufficient for Kedushin. Why? Because we already have such a strong chazaka that they're going to get married based off the public testimony from the Shiduchin that will do away with the requirement for Edim on the Kedushin. Look here. Just skip to... What?
It's not such a big leap. All he's saying is
But usually
the divorce now becomes like the shidduch.
But it's not.
The shidduch is like the.
But that's crazy because
I hear you.
But because an engagement is not a marriage.
It's after the whole, he's proposed, everyone's there.
But it's as they say, ikar chaser min hasefer, right? The main thing is missing. The kiddushin is what makes the marriage.
But it's almost like a chazaka.
Yeah, so he's saying the strong chazaka could take the place of Edim. Look here in the last paragraph in the Arzarua. Hachanami Islan Lemeimar. This is the middle of page 4. Hachanami Islan Lemeimar. Chazaka kol hasholeach sivlonos la'achar hashiduchin. Anybody who sends these gifts after the engagement. Hol v'him derech chasnos. Right, since they're, you know, in the spirit of the marriage. Vaday b'toras kidushin sholeach. V'anam sahadi, we're witnesses. Meaning, we the interpreters are witnesses. It's as if he married her in our presence. V'sivruni, and I think. Dehu hadin, o kol shekein imshidech. Right, they had engagement. V'shuv kitsha below edim. And then he did a kedushin without edim at all. V'shnehem modim, and both parties agree. There's no dispute between them whether or not they had a ma'isa kedushin. Dehave kedushin me'alya. That's like a perfectly good kedushin. And then he says, I, the Gemara, says kol hecha dekimam b'daita b'lo amrasa samchina chazaka famina nam perek hamad kedushin. Okay, we know in the first parak of kedushin the shidich milsahi. Those are the first two gemaras that we began with when the gemara said that kidsha begezel dida, when he stole her handkerchief. Whether or not there was a prior shiduchin will determine whether we'll view her silence as consent. And the case of rav manged al demekadish below shiduchi. So you see that shiduchin is a real thing. He says therefore. Now here he's saying the Gemara says though in general that if you don't have witnesses and only the two parties consenting, that's not a good kiddushin because you require edim. No. That Gemara, that's only when they didn't have an engagement. Okay, so it's shocking. The Gemara explicitly says without two witnesses a kiddushin is nothing. He says, oh, that Gemara is talking about a case where you weren't engaged, but if you had a prior engagement. Don't need witnesses for the kiddushin. Right, big chiddush. Yeah. Right, big chiddush.
So again, this goes to what's a shidduch. This when it says v'anan sadeh, you're talking about is it like always in front of a whole big oilam and there's
a vart. Let's say a vart. Yeah. Right, they like an engagement party. Right. I think that's what they have in mind.
Two kosher
edim. Right, as long
but you need edim for the shidduch. Again, this is what I said. In other words, I come and I come back, I tell my parents, like, oh, you know, we got engaged. We said we were going to get married.
No, but then...
Is that...
No, yeah, so when everyone shows up to the engagement party, those are edim that there's an engagement.
Right.
That's the...
Even though they're not designated as edim, do you have to designate...
Right, so most Rishonim think that even our designation of edim at a chuppah, that's only an extra chumrah. But most people think that you don't need special designation. Okay? So here are four cases where the shiduchim impacts the way we look at the Maisa Kiddushin. Now I want to try to argue something even stronger. Not just that the shiduchim impacts the way we look at the Kiddushin and how we'll interpret the later Maisa Kiddushin, but that there could be significance per se in the act of shiduchim. Okay? So a little stronger than what we've been seeing until now. That there are times when we'll interpret the shiduchin as having halachos that we usually associate with kiddushin. Okay, and obviously this last case, the arzarua, is a borderline case, because here we're saying that the edus of shiduchin is sufficient for the edus of kiddushin. Okay? So, on the bottom of page 4, we have the Shulchan Aruch paskening the Mishnah and the Gemara in Ksuvis, which we spoke about a lot in the Wednesday night shiurim, that if you do kiddushin on a girl who's over 12 and a half, so you have 12 months to do the Nisuin. Right? Even in the times of the Gemara, they would separate the Erisin and the Nisuin, the Kedushin and the Nisuin. So once you do Kedushin, you have 12 months to finish the marriage. Okay? And if you don't, the halacha is that Chazal obligate you to begin to support, the husband is obligated to begin financially supporting his spouse, even if they didn't have Nisuin yet. All right, so let's say they had a Kiddushin on January 1st, 2017. So by January 1st, 2018, they have to do Nisuin. If the husband is dragging his feet and he's pushing off the Nisuin, he's already financially obligated to begin supporting her from that point in time. Okay? From January 1st, 2018. That's the din of Higiyaz Man Velo Niso, Ochelas Mishalo. Good? So Shulchan Aruch quotes his halacha. Look here at the Beis Shmuel in the third source on page 5. Okay, the Beis Shmuel is one of the 17th century commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, commenting on this halacha. Beis Shmuel says, "Ve'efshar gam bizman hazeh, de'ein mekadshin miyad ve'einu ela shiduchin." We don't do kiddushin at the beginning of the relationship, right? We do kiddushin at the end, together with the nesuin. Mikol makom, kivan shehigia eist hanesuin, v'huma akev chayv litein mezonos. So he thinks that in principle, nowadays our engagements should determine when the husband assumes financial liability for the wife. So they get engaged, they have 12 months to get married, and if the husband tries to delay after those 12 months, he already has to begin supporting his wife. So this is a halacha that the Gemara clearly applies to kiddushin. He's saying, look, nowadays our shiduchin take on greater significance because we don't split up the erisin and nisuin. Okay?
What can you define... Erisin as opposed to Kedushin, and
Erisin is Kedushin. Erisin is the exact same thing as Kedushin. Just,
what evidence
so
is the Shiduchin? Is there a Kesef? Is there a Shtar?
So it could be that back in the day, it doesn't seem like there ever was a Shtar. It seems like back in the day, the parties would get together in front of the shul, and they would say, oh, our children are getting engaged, you know, and you know, our honor will be tarnished if we back out of this commitment. Yes, and the Rishonim are explicit. The Rishonim say that if one side says that, you know, if I back out, I'm going to put down $100,000 as a fine. So even if they don't do a Maisa Kinyan, because it's done in public and there's so much busha involved in backing out, that we view that as a legal way of obligating yourself, right? Because there's so much seriousness surrounding the commitment. No, it's not asmachta. So Rishonim say it's not an asmachta because it's bifnei hakahal. It's like a public proclamation, and because there's like busha in backing out, like that indicates that you're serious.
How do you absolve? How do you break off the
ship? Oh, so in the beginning, I quoted this gra that notorious. The gra says once you have shiduchin, it's better to get married and give a get than to break off a shidduch. Why? Because to get divorced, the Torah gives you a valid means for dissolving it. But to break off a shidduch, there's no way to back out of your word. That's what the grass says.
We don't call it.
Yeah, yeah. What's that?
How does this view explain the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, which provides three methods of Kiddushin? He's now adding public proclamation as a fourth.
No, but he's not saying it's a Kiddushin. He's just saying that this could create financial liability for the husband. That's all he's saying. No one's saying that this could clearly substitute for the Kiddushin, but we're saying that we'll be willing to allow something much, much less than a normal Maisa Kiddushin to be construed as a Kiddushin once you have a Shiduchin.
For purposes of financial support in 12 months.
Yes.
Anything else?
Well, he even says, Mihu ein nohagim kain, right? He says that, like, no one follows this, but he thinks it's true. But I think also what's driving the Beis Shmuel is that he's saying, look, back in the times of the Gemara, Erusin really was their kind of engagement.
Right, now we do them together. So this is
exactly. Right. In the times of the Gemara, the engagement came along with Edim, a Kinyan, and a formal Isser Eish Esish. But nowadays that we kind of did away with that because we lump it together with the Nisuin, the Shiduchin becomes our conceptual equivalent.
And at what point?
Yeah, that's my parenthesis that I put in as interpreted. Yeah.
At what point can she say after the passage of 12 months, can she say, I'm marrying Joe?
Okay, so she definitely can do that. She could do that. The Gruss says, oh, it's really bad, right? You're going to be punished. But she definitely could do that. Everybody agrees the parties are allowed. Everybody agrees it's effective if the parties back out. The Gros is just saying it's like really bad for them to do so.
Does that terminate the financial obligation to support her if she marries somebody else?
Yeah, of course.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
I think there's a Gemara in Kiddushin. I think like Rav Huna says that chupa is a method of Kiddushin and it's not accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
But the premise is because it's a public thing.
So it's not clear,
and
right?
It's rejected, and here we're saying like, oh, there's this public thing.
Right. Well, it's not clear what the premise really behind Rav Huna is. Actually, this Tuesday or Wednesday night, we're going to discuss Rav Huna here. So stay tuned. The Marit, who's writing a few years before the Beis Shmuel, the Marit has a similar argument to the Beis Shmuel that the financial liabilities kick in from the time of the engagement. Look at this following debate that was sent to the Marit. Marit's writing in the early 17th, late 16th century. She'ela, Reuven shidech hezbito l'Shimon. Sorry, Reuven shidech hezba Shimon. Ze yoser mishnatayim yamim. Okay, they're already engaged for 2 years. V'nichta v'nechtam star shiduchin b'chol tokef b'kin. So here they actually signed the star shiduchin. Ushvua chamura, right? They swore that they won't back out. Sheruven lo yuchal lekade shum bas Yisrael zulas es bas Shimon. Right? That I'm going to marry your daughter. No one else. The gamkin nishba Shimon lasis lo es bito leisha, and the other party agreed as well. Vahatzad hachozer bo zulas heyoso over al hashvua yitain letzad hamekayim masayim pirchizav. They also agreed that whichever party backs out will compensate the other party financially. Achen, however, and here's why you need a good contract lawyer. Lo nichtav zman kotzuv lezman hanesuin. They didn't put in a terminus for when they have to get married. V'ata b'rosa ruvein hayosa miben chamisha v'esrim shana v'harusa bas esrim shana. The kal is already 20. So Omer l'Shimon t'nali es bitcha li'isha ki v'chol yom machrizen osi. Says, you know, we got to get married. My daughter's getting older. V'Shimon Omer lo shnasa yovel etzanan mulcha. He's like, yeah. When Yovel comes around, then we'll do the wedding. Okay, so no one is a kiein zman nisuin mefurish b'shtar shiduchin. Right? He's pointing out that they never specified a date. So the Marit goes through this and he says, look, I think it's obvious that even the unspecified date of any shiduchin is 12 months. Why? Because the Gemara says that with respect to Erusin. So we could assume that when they had das for the shiduchin, they had das for that thing that the Gemara had for Erusin. Now look here at the third paragraph in the Marit. He says, wait a second, Erusin is stronger than shiduchin, so how could I compare the two? The afa gav dehasam ba'arusa shaninu da'agida be kiddushin. Even though the case of the Gemara's financial liability is when there's a real bond through kiddushin, afzu agida be b'shvua v'knas gadol. No. even through shiduchim, she's bound to him through the shvua and the penalty which they accepted on themselves. So therefore, I could make the equation between the two cases. Okay. So just like Erisin has some sort of legal bond, so to shiduchin has this like bond through the commitment that they made to each other.
But it helped that they went through signed the shtar, they made a commitment, created a, they did in public, they had a fine, a tremendous fine.
Yeah. So the question is, do you think that when just a couple gets engaged in general without specifying there's a fine if I back out, etc., that that's still like a public vow to go through with the marriage, right? Do they have to say, oh, I swear that I'll never back out and never marry anyone else? That's what it means to be engaged.
Right. Okay, yeah, it's meaningful. And if they don't?
And if they don't what?
And if they don't? It's meaningful. It is a meaningful thing more than just not, but okay.
Right, so they could always back out. So the question is, though, would you still say what the Marit... Would you still say that what the Marit is saying, that they're like bound to each other in a sufficient way that there'll be financial liability after 12 months? You don't
Did
like
she
it.
Eat truma after 12 months?
What?
Yeah.
Did she eat truma?
Yeah, I mean, the Beis Shmuel presumably would be forced into that kind of conclusion.
They said
that she should be able to eat truma.
Rabbi, they said only bat shema. Couldn't he have married somebody else then marry her later on? They didn't have takanat ruvenu gershom at that point.
Would he be able to? Without takanas ruvenu gershom. Well, it seems like if he took a shvua that he wouldn't, then
he wouldn't
marry anybody else, then he's committed himself to that.
He's committing to that one, but maybe he wants somebody else also.
Yeah, I don't know. If he expressly said in a shvua that I won't marry anybody else, then he can't violate his shvua. Let's look at a few more.
Is there a concept in Jewish law, under American law, there's certain things like if there's no time set that you impute a reasonable period of time?
So he's saying that the reasonable period here for the engagement is what the Gemara says for Kedushin. And he says, you could distinguish because one seems to be Agida Bey and one's not Agida Bey. One, there's a real bond. He says, no, in both cases, there's a real bond. Right. Right, so he's building up the bond of the engagement.
And in commercial law, again, just to make a net, do you have...
Yes, you do. Well, there are a lot different chazakas for different things. We say Stam Halva, Lam Idyom, things like that. Let's look at a few more cases to build up the dinim that go into effect at Shiduchin. If you look here on page 6, look at Gimel. The Chassam Sofer points out in this tshuva that most Rishonim holds if a man seduces a woman, mifate, so he's chayiv to marry her. Right? He's supposed to marry her if the woman wants to get married. It's part of the penalty. He's not supposed to divorce her. Okay. What kind of ksuva does this man have to write for his wife? Does he write a ksuva of a besula that she should get masayim zuz? Or does he write a ksuva of a be'ula where she gets a mana? So the Chor, most Rishonim hold that she gets a ksuva of a be'ula because by the time they're getting married, she already had bia with him. So she's a be'ula. So her ksuva is only going to be a mana. Okay? What?
He's the one responsible for making her.
Okay, so it's Machlokas Rishonim. It's Machlokas Rishonim.
Yeah.
So it happens to be Machlokas Rishonim in general. The Rambam says she should get Masayim like a Basula, but most Rishonim think she only gets a Mane, because at the time of the marriage, she is a Bula. The Chassam Sofer says there's one... The Chassam Sofer says there's one exception. What's the exception?
Communication
and rape. Not rape, but there was a seduction. Right? He seduced her into Bia.
So look at this
Chassam Sofer in source Gimel.
Yeah, maybe your wife, can you?
Well, first of all, nowadays for sure people think you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
People, I mean, I don't know about halachically, but definitely in society. So the Chassam Sofer here in Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Chaf Hei says, Ibra Nirli, the Ein Elu Ne'marim El B'Mefuta Bogeres Da Alma. The only case where she gets a ksuva of mana after he marries her is if he seduces some girl who has no prior relationship to him. Vinasa acher kach, and then he marries her. Aval b'meshudeches shelo, if it's the girl he's engaged to, v'chvar nichtevu b'neihem t'noyim b'knas v'cherem kinohug, sheliba samoch uvatuach shatina selo, in her heart she's relying on the fact that he's going to marry her. V'ein eineha t'luyos al habachurim, she's not looking around to marry somebody else. Ela olav hinose nafsha, right? She's, her eyes are on him. Va'adaita dehochi afgara nafsha legabit yidei. And that's presumably why she consented to this bia prior to the kedushin, because she knew that he was going to marry her. Shehu yisa ena v'yek suvasem venu masayim kimor habesulos v'vadei lo mochla ela daita dehochi. So in this kind of a case, it's clear that she only consented to the bia with the assumption that she would have a ksuva of a besula. Okay, so the Chasam Sofer in the end kind of turns it into an umdana, right, that she only consented to the bia that's really l'shem, the future marriage. Therefore, unlike a regular case of mefate, if it's mefate mishudachto, she gets a regular ksuva of masayim. Okay, so formally, it's as if we're viewing the relationship starting from the shiduchin, right? So her ksuva gets fixed from the value of the shiduchin, because any bia in between the shiduchin and the kedushin was really l'shem that future relationship. Okay. He's saying that it's very modern. Right? The shiduchin is what. Look, assuming that the shiduchin is a modern concept, and if you think that even halachically the shiduchin, starts the halachic relationship, then it's not even a modern view.
But it's a little strange, because we've always seen examples of he is not the shame to do for Kedusha, but the shame is nus.
Right. So he's definitely. Correct.
How do you differentiate that type of view with this type of view?
Right.
You know?
So right.
Maybe she was just looking for his
nus. So I think the more you build up Shiduchin as like a real Kenyan, the less you'll be inclined to view that bi as a bi as nus. Right. Which is exactly what the Chasam Sofer is doing here. Another case is not as strong as the Chasam Sofer. Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer Hilchos Ksuvos Siman Samech Vav. So Shulchan Aruch quotes that it used to be, or sometimes in some places, the Chasan of the Kala didn't have so much money, but it wasn't mechubedik to read the Ksuva at the wedding. Like, oh, he's giving her 25 cents as a wedding gift. You know, so they would put in he's giving her $2 million. And everyone would say, oh, wow. But everyone knew that he wasn't really committing himself to that shear. So there are different minhagim in different places. You can see the Shulchan Aruch here says, under Dalid, Hanose Isha Stam, Kosev Lefi HaMinog. So if you don't specify the wedding agreements, you always write Lefi HaMinog HaMakom. V'chein Hisha Paskal LaHachnes Nosenes Kefi HaMinog HaMedina. Haga, V'yesh Mekomo SheHachasan Mosef Bin Edunyasa, V'Kosev Yoser Mimasha Kibel. Sometimes they would write that she brought in more to the marriage than she would actually bring in. V'Hochim Beze Achar HaMinog. Right, you always go after the minhag. Uchsheba ligvos ksuvasa magvin la mashe b'ksuvasa l'fi minhag amedina. Meaning you interpret what's written in the ksuva l'fi the minhag in that makom. So if the norm is to write $1 million when it really means $200, then she collects $200. Okay, and etc. Look at the next paragraph. The Rama adds in miu imrota lahasnos the livchos l'ishta min haminhag harshes biyado v'vad shelo yivchos mashe tikna rabanan. Let's say the minhag in the town is that the chasan really does pledge $200,000 to his wife in case they get divorced. So then the chasan has to follow the minhag medina, and he has to pledge that amount and give that amount, unless he stipulates explicitly in the ksuva that I'm not following the minhag makom. Okay? The Rama adds, V'nirli dafka shehisnekein b'sha'a she'asa hashiduchim avalim asu shiduchim stam v'shibdu asan b'knasos. When does the chasan lose his ability to change the conditions of the ksuva from the minhag hamakom? At the time of the shiduchim. So once they get engaged, then the chasan assumes the liabilities of the town that they're getting married in. It's too late for him to, can't get engaged and then right before the wedding say, oh, by the way, I have different conditions. Okay? So it's the shiduchim, not the kiddushin, which fix the moment when the chasan has to determine his obligations. Look here in source 5, and this brings us to the next point I want to raise. The Rosh in Maseches Kedushin Perek Beis Siman Zayin, bottom of page 6. The Rosh has a great halacha. V'od hayinir ladaktik mishmu azu, she'im gila b'dayto l'shadchen shehu chafetz b'isha plonis. So you tell the shadchen, I want to get engaged to Leia. The Amar Lashad Chalo that put the engagement through. The Halach HaShadchan V'Kid Shalo. And now the Shadchan, instead of saying, oh, let's set up the engagement, the shadchan performs the kiddushin. Zaha re'ad mekudeshes to my shliach, that guy. So what's the din? The kidsha below mino ishlichos, shehi mekudeshes lo. It's a good kiddushin. Very, very surprised. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. He quotes this as a yesh misha omer. He doesn't want to commit to the view. Yesh misha omer shafil lo minu shliach behedja ela shegila daito shu chavetz bisha plonis v'amar lo l'shadchalo v'halach ha-shadchen v'kitshalo below minu shlichos harizu mekudashas. Right, so what's the hesber here? There's almost like an assumption that there is an equivalence between what it means to have shiduchin bizman hazeh and what it means to have kiddushin. So to license somebody to be your shliach, to create a shiduchin, is ipso facto to license somebody to be your shliach kedushin. A very surprising equation, and not all the Rishonim agree with it, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes as a yesh misha omer. Okay. This, I think, bears on this earlier question that we saw, that our nowadays shiduchin really is what Chazal meant by Erisin. Except that it used to be what it meant to be engaged was that it was a formal kinyan and that she was also the kuli alma. That's what an engagement meant. Nowadays that we don't do that, we don't want such a formal commitment and an isser to kick in from the engagement. So our shiduchin really takes on the meaning of what their erisin was. So that's one way of interpreting why to appoint somebody as a shliach perhaps to be to create a shiduchin is sufficient for mina shlichas on the erisin. But look here at the lashonos of the Rishonim, just to point out the equivalence. The Meiri in Inyan Hay, there's a whole debate in Provence and Spain about whether you do the, if you do the nisuin and the kedushin together like we do, should you do it on two kosos, on one kos, should you read the ksuva in between to try to split them up? So the Meiri weighed in on this, and he says a phrase here. He says elahava yodim. This is the source, section 3 on page 7. Ela havi yodim shebimei rabosenu haya min hagam likadesh b'shas hashiduchin v'litein zman kefiya mutne. Just the way he characterized that. It used to be in times of the Gemara, they would do the kiddushin at the engagement. Right? So you see how he's interpreting what went on in times of the Gemara as really the engagement being the erisin. You know, the Rush in a tshuva was asked, a chassan and a kala were engaged, and the chassan sent some gifts over to the kala. It's like the case of the Or Zavua that we saw. And people were walking around saying that Rivka is Me'ureses Reuven. Rivka is the Arusa of Reuven. And everyone was talking about her as the Arusa of Reuven. So the question was, if they break it off, does Reuven have to give her a get? Why? Because everyone's referring to her as the Arusa, as the Mikudashas of Reuven. So the Rosh responds, see the tshuva. Yirali she'en kan kol hatzricha get. That's not sufficient to require a get. Take a look, skip to the underlined section. Why? She'ken lashon ha'olam likros l'mishudeches arusa. It's already in the 13th century. People were confusing the terms of an arusa and a mishudeches. So the fact that everyone was calling her arusa sruvein doesn't mean that they had kiddushin. Right? It may just mean that they had an engagement, which is not enough to require a get. I'm just pointing out that you see already in the times of the Rush, there was a semantic confusion as to the difference between Arusa and Shiduchin. Okay. Rashi in Machzor Vitri, in Simon Reish Pei Zayin, has an interesting comment, where it says in the Torah, Ve'erastich, three times. Ve'erastich li l'olam, Ve'erastich li, how's it go? Something like that. Right? Rastichli be Olam. Rastichli be. Okay. So he says, and the Torah says, Vishlosha Vera, this is Machzorvichi, Vishlosha Verastich Shekhsib Bikra. It says Erisin three times in the Torah. Yesh Omrim Klapi Gimel Havayo Shem Ragilin Lisha. Connected three stage of affecting a marriage with a woman. Tsumes yad chila, right, the handshake, which is the commitment to get married, the shiduchin, v'erisin v'nisuin. Right, so you can see Rashi is speaking about these as like three distinct stages of the process of marriage. Okay. So I think there is an ambiguity here. Are we saying, are we really saying option A, that really there's Erisin and Nisuin? But like the Beis Shmuel, once we lumped Erisin and Nisuin together, so then we have to give Shiduchin prominence as like the modern form of Erisin? So it's like really there are two things. So I don't know, I'm saying we already see it in the time of the Rush and... Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. In which case, you might say that Shiduchin is Chashuv, but only because we did away with Erisin as a separate stage. But it's the modern age conception of what Erisin was. Alternatively, you'll say like this Rashi, and I don't know, even in the Torah's conception, like we saw on the Gemara in the first paragraph of Kedushin, there are three stages to creating the Ishus. Shiduchin, Erisin, and Nisuin. Okay, so these are two ways that we could go about looking at this. Let me take the next 10 minutes before we close to survey a whole range of dinim. Yeah, why that happened. Yeah, I'm sure that's why. Right? I'm sure like nobody wanted... But what do you mean a bigger problem?
No, I'm just saying they put them together to obviate the need for a get in between when you change your mind over a course of a year.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, well, we have Shiduchim, which now you may be obligated in money, you may be obligated, maybe get Malkus or something, right? I mean, you know.
No, but the liabilities are much less for Shiduchim than the Torah's conception of Erisin. Right? So maybe... What? Yeah, this is true. But at least if she ends up starting a relationship with somebody else, right, her liability and her, you know, new partner's liability are much lower than the Isser Misa that you have for HSH, right? So I think the conceptual translation that once upon a time what it meant to be engaged is that it was you're engaged to the extent that if she had a relationship with somebody else, they're both killed. Nowadays, what it means to be engaged is much weaker, but there's still importance to being engaged. Let me just throw out now already two possible reasons why the Torah or why these dinim are so high on shiduchim, right? Why we're pumping up shiduchim as something significant. So, one reason connects to what we already saw in the Rambam. The Rambam said that kodeh matan Torah, marriage relationships were hefker. You found a woman, you had bia, you moved on to someone else. There's no permanence. Part of the Torah's innovation of marriage is that there's a legal relationship preceding the physical intimate marriage relationship. So as the Rambam says, look here, we already saw the Rambam, but let's look at the Rambam's formulation, turn back to page 1. And this we saw in the Gittin discussion last time as well, last time we had Sunday morning shiur. The bottom of page 1, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Kodem matan Torah hayadam pogei isha bashuk, in ratza huvi hi lisa osa, machnisa lebeso, uboa la beino levein atzma, vetia lo leisha. Kivan shenosna Torah, Torah frowned upon this, nitztavu Yisrael, sheim yirtze ha'ish lisa isha, yikne osa tchila bifne edim. He should acquire her prior, in front of witnesses. There should be a formal relationship, so that's not casual. Ve'achar kach tia lo leisha. Okay? This is what the Rambam calls in the next halacha the Isser Kedesha. Kodem matan Torah haya adam pogea isha bashuk, in ratzahu vihi nosen la schara, uboel osal eim haderech v'holichlo. Kind of like prostitution. Vizuhi hanikneis Kedesha. That hanikneis Kedesha, that's Hefker. Mishanasna Torah nesra ha Kedesha, etc. That's what Kedesha was. Go back to the Rambam we saw in the beginning of this year in Paragimel, halacha chaf beis. Why did the Rambam say it's important to have Shiduchin prior to Kiddushin? So notice, Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, the Rambam saying, look, it can't just be a. So the Torah created Erisin, a Kinyan, Bifnei Edim, prior to the physical relationship. What does the Rambam say in Gimel Chaf Beis? V'chein ha-mekadesh belo shiduch, this is the middle of page 1. If you have Kiddushin without engagement, what is that? Skip the end of the line. Hergel is nus. V'yidame likedesha shahaisa kodem matan Torah. Right, just starting off a relationship with Kiddushin, even that's too casual. Right, so it's almost like the more stages, the more legal stages we have preceding the Nisuin, right, the crisper, the more salient the Torah's innovation of Kiddushin is. right? You're separating a kedusha relationship from a marriage relationship by these various stages, right? So it's very, very medieval in the Rambam that shiduchin is like erusin in adding a legal stage prior to the relationship. There's another way of interpreting the significance of shiduchin, and this is based off the Abarbanel that we saw also when we spoke about gittin a few weeks ago. The Abarbanel said, why did the Torah create divorce? Because the Torah has such a optimistic conception of marriage that it wants it to be like kibasar echad. Right, that's why Chava is created as part of Adam. So it's like this perfect union between them. Torah was worried that sometimes people would end up getting married and the union wouldn't be perfect. So it said, oh, they'll find someone better than their spouses. And with those new partners, they'll have a real v'davak b'ishta v'hayla basar echad. Torah said, get divorced. On that same discussion, the Abarbanel said, and skip here to page 7. I'm sorry, page 11. This is right after that discussion about divorce, right? The Torah gives you gerushin because it wants you always to have the capacity for a perfect marriage. And the top of the page, the Abarbanel says, "Uchvar zachar hafilo sof pan hagas ha-medina, shemipnei zeh hiskimu ha-anashim be-erusin." This is why people have erusin. I'm not sure if he means formal erusin or engagements. Kodem shetinase isha leish. Kedesha bizman ha-erusin yivchenu shneihem. They each could discern the other one. Ve'im yimtzu shneihem ha'ava v'hashalom ha'nimshachem me'ha'osos ha'mizagim. If they find during this courtship period that they're well-tuned for each other. V'haskamasam yavo lidei nisuin. Then they'll agree and they'll create a marriage. Ve'im lochin. Lo yisa'ena. Now, I think he's talking about, clearly he's talking about formal erusin. Ki mutav legarsha biyosa besula mibiyosa beula v'nesua. Better that they get divorced just from erusin, before they had relations, than to get divorced from nesuin. So notice, right? He's treating the Torah's creation of kedushin, bikinyin be'edim, as like a trial period, which is the way we interpret engagements. So unlike the Rambam, who is interpreting the significance of erusin as having like a legal relationship prior to the intimate one, to distinguish promiscuity from marriage, that Abarbanel is saying, look, we want to make sure that they could have like a courtship period, yeah, personal relationship, before they have the obligations of marriage. Now he has this great line where he says, well, if erusin is just that, why do you require a get when you break it off? Right. So what do you think he says? It's a shocking comment. The Abarbanel had some creative ideas. So look at the next paragraph. V'hinei chayva Torah legareish es isha afal pishalo nivala. Torah requires gerushin. L'fisha hakidushin him miyachtim ha'adam v'ishto. V'osrin osa. Right, they create this kind of designation and iser. V'lechein yitztarich ha'adam l'hatir ha'kesher ha'hu. L'fisha hi me'achar shen iskadsha. Harei hi be'efsharus karov niv'eles labayla. Like, yeah, they already have this relationship. We don't really know what happened between them. V'hatorah lo chashisha linistaros. The Torah is not going to vouch for what happens behind closed doors. Kimi yodea, kimen sheniskacha ilav im nivala imlo. Right? Because maybe they ended up having actual bia. So he thinks, like, in principle, like, if you press the Torah on it, the Torah would say, really, you shouldn't need a get for erusin. It's only because the Torah can't vouch for what really happened in your relationship under this courtship period that the Torah requires a get. Okay?
We never learned speculation. We never learned the whole thing about erusin. This is a trial period. Right. This is a rental, something.
Like shiduchin. Like shiduchin.
You can't show me a single gemara. I haven't talked about that during this whole zman. It was a trial period.
But what did you think it meant?
This was just a financial thing for the old man to get some cash to make the wedding. And to get everything done for the wedding, and get it all arranged. That's all it was.
Looking like a father,
I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way, but you already see from even the Beis Shmuel, who was saying that nowadays our shiduchin is like erusin, okay. That there's some conceptual equivalence. Right? So I think clearly this is the way we treat our shiduchin as like a courtship period.
They did away with the break between erusin and kedushin already, right?
But you could argue that they did away with it only to recreate it with shiduchin.
No, that sounds like that's what they did. They wanted to take away the obligation in terms of get and stuff like that.
And right, it was too up, made too severe.
Because it was going to happen. It may have happened too frequently, maybe necessary too frequently.
tied up, and then forming the concept of the shidduchim, so that therefore you, that's the time you develop the relationship.
Possible.
Without the,
it's possible. So let me give a few quick further nafgaminas, and with this we'll close, to seeing the shiduchin as like a significant stage in this this procession from shiduchin to erusin to nisuin. Okay, on the bottom of page 7, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin has a suggestion that we should make a shecheyanu at the shiduchin. And he says, I'm not sure if we do it after nisuin, but look on page 8, he says, the third paragraph on page 8, Od Nira Li, Be'inyan Zeh, Shafilu al Kishur HaShiduch HaHagun, right, even just on creating the Shiduchin, Roy Levarich Shehecheyanu, says, Delogara Mishar Shmuos Tovos Mirachar. It's not any worse than like getting good news in general where you should make a Shehecheyanu. And he says, moreover, just skip to the underlined section, page 8, Kol Shekein B'Kishur Avusos HaAva, and all the more so through the forging of the bonds of love, asher lo yinatik mehera, they're not easily dissolvable. V'hi haschalas tova vaday kechol hachana v'hazman alahechsher mitzvah bovad shemivarech alein zman. That's like a real preparation for the mitzvah of nesuin, which is going to come later. Right, so you should make a shechianu at the shiduchim. The Gemara in Ksivis on Ches Amid Aleph, the Gemara talks about simcha b'mono. Right, at a wedding we bench. In Zimun, we say, mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, when's the earliest time you could start making Shasimcha b'mono? So the Gemara in Ksivis here says, the third line in the Gemara, right in the middle of the line, Umeikara me'emas, when's the earliest you can make Simcha b'mono? Amara Papa, this is the middle of page 8, Michiramu sari basinta, once they start making the beer for the wedding, for the chasana, then you could start making shasimcha b'mono because everyone's already in a festive mood. And where's the eni? V'hara papa yasek la'aba marbre, or papa's son got engaged. Ubarach mishas erison. Wait a second. And they started making shasimcha b'mono from erison. What does erison mean here? Does it mean the kiddushin or does it mean the engagement? So where's the shiny? Your papa did have a triachlo. Maybe your papa was already involved in the wedding seuda's preparations from the engagement. Ravina Iyasek Le Lebre, Ravina's son got engaged, Beirav Chaviva, Mubarach Mishas Erison, and they made Shasim Chomona from the Erison. Again, not clear whether it means Nisuin or Erison. Amar Kimli Begavai Delo Hajibu, he says, I'm going to make the bracha because I'm so confident that they're not going to back out. Lo Yastayin Milse Behajibu. Right, of course, they ended up backing out. So the Gemara takes this as a reason not to say Shasim Chomona at Erison. But now we have Machlokas Rishonim. When the Gemara said not to make a Simcha Chomona at Erison because they might back out, is that referring to Kiddushin? Or is that referring to Shiduchin? The Nafkamina, if it's referring to Shiduchin, then you should make a Simcha B'mono at Erison, yes. Right? So
why
here's
Mach... Bracha so important?
Shasimcha B'mono is like one of the brachos, it's like the Sheva brachos, right? You're saying that there's like a spiritual Simcha here. Right? Some say Ma'on is where the Malachim say Shira. Right? It's like a divine Simcha to this wedding. So the Mordechai has 2 days about this. Most Rishonim say it means that he made it at the Kiddushin, and then they broke off the Kiddushin. Therefore, we learn not to make Shasimcha Mono at Kiddushins, mm-hmm. Which is how we paskin. But then, in the end of the second line of the Mordechai, he says, "Aval Yavak Mishpira, Polig V'Amar, Delo Gara Mishvua Haben, Delu Etzar Dinuka Hayim Varchin Shasimcha Mono." Kiddushin can't be worse than a bris mila, where in principle you should make a simcha mono. The uvda derab papa, that case in the Gemara, the Ravina, b'shas shiduchin hava, below ace erison. That was only a case of shiduchin, therefore, so we passing that you shouldn't make a simcha mono at shiduchin, only at erison. But those amorayim in the Gemara did make it at shiduchin, and the only reason why we don't is because you might back out of it. Okay, but at least that sounds like in principle, mm-hmm. You could make Shasimcha b'mono at Shiduchim. The Sherei Knesset HaGedola on top of page 9 quotes a very nice minug that we should all adopt. Noagu b'mkomos halalu shelo lipol al pneim lo b'yom kiddushin af b'shenu yom achupa v'lo b'yom ha-shiduchim. You shouldn't say tachnan when someone gets engaged on that day. Right? Not for that. So not only does Nisuin pater from Tachnun, but also even the Shiduchin should pater from Tachnun. The Taz in Or Chaim Siman Tav Kuf Mem Vav. Here we have a halacha that you're allowed to do Erusin on Yom Tov because we're on Chol HaMoed, because we're worried that somebody else might preempt you to this girl. So it's like a Dabar HaAved. You're allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed. So look here, Shema Yekad Menu Acher. So you're also allowed to do an engagement on Chol HaMoed because you might lose out on the girl, right? Somebody else might preempt you. Could you have an engagement party on Chol HaMoed? Is that a problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? Right? So we don't allow weddings on Chol HaMoed because of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha. What about an engagement party? He ends up saying that he thinks it's aser. Right, you can see in the next line. Im zeh b'makom se'udas erusin v'aser. Is it instead of the sudas erusin which they used to have, and therefore it should be aser? Kemosha kasafti b'samach. O din nema delo dami se'uda zula sudas erusin shekidesh kvar. Maybe only a suda with a real kedushin is significant. Da'az davka shayach ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Right, you need real kedushin to trigger ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Or is shiduch insufficient? Right? So he thinks that even a shiduchin takes on the properties of their su'udas kiddushin. And therefore you shouldn't do it on, shouldn't have engagement parties according to this on Chol HaMoed. The final nafkamina, two more nafkaminas. In Vav, we have the Gemara in Kiddushin Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph. The Gemara says, Asur la'adam l'kari shesa isha ad she'irena. Right? You shouldn't do a kedushin before you see your prospective spouse, because you may not like her and you'll end up getting divorced or you'll end up not getting along. So the Drisha is one of the 16th century commentaries on the Torah, and he says, bottom page 9, "V'masha anu noagim b'shiduchin shebeinenu, sheruba deruba mishatchin aydei shatchin v'shliach, ve'ein achasan roa oza." So he's wondering already, is what the Gemara says, "Aser lekadesh ad shirena." Does that apply to Aser L'Shadech Achirena? Right? So he says, L'minog in his town was clearly everybody was getting engaged without meeting their spouse. He says, Hayne Mishum De'ein Za'ela Shiduchin Ba'almo. That's because it's only Shiduchin. No one really cares about Shiduchin. Shenis Kashru Yachad. Aval Mikol Mokom Achosan Roa Sakala Kodim Shiachnisena V'Yikad Shena. He's going to see her before the Kiddushin. That's his first suggestion. His first suggestion is, oh, Shiduchin's meaningless. That's why it's okay. His second suggestion is, no, really, Shiduchin is really, 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 you should see her before Shiduchin. But, Anu somchen amasha kosmen atosvos, Tosfos has this comment based on the Gemara that says you're not, the Gemara says you should never marry off your daughter as a minor, right? Because you really want her consent. Even though the halacha grants a father to marry off his daughter without her consent as a minor, the Mishnah says, Asur la'adam l'kadesh es bito kishi ktana, until she grows up and she could consent to the marriage. But Tosa say, nowadays, we're all marrying off our daughters as katanas. As Tosa says in the 12th and 13th century. So how do they explain that? So look here, the second to last line. The Amarav asal adam shekadish bitok shiktana ache tigdal v'tomer bifnei ploni ani rotza. The anu bigalus, we're in the exile. The ein lanu tamid sipuke tzarcha ani dunya. Oftentimes we can't cough up the money for the dowry. Gam anu misay ma'at ve'ein motim tamid ziva kogun. It's very hard to find a good shidduch. So there are less evils created if we chaparayim when they're ketanas and we have the money then, than to wait 10 years and we're not going to be able to pay for nidunya and all the men are going to be gone. So he says maybe we rely on a similar heter to do shiduchin before the chasan sees the kala. Not because Shiduchin is meaningless. Really, Shiduchin is like Kiddushin. Just we have no choice because we're financially and militarily oppressed. The Imkain, top of the page. Im Haya Mechuyev Lahamtin Ad She'irena Dilma B'toch Hazman Yera Eza Siba She'enu Yachal L'Kadsha. And it's like impossible any other way. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins on this. U'mi L'chadchila Vada Yoser Nachun She'achasan Yera Hakala Kodem HaShiduchin. Right? This is in line with what we saw earlier. Right? The more you could have a relationship or a legal relationship prior to the Erusin and Nisuin, the better you are. So we already saw this Gra, where the Gra says that better to break off a marriage with a get than to break it off from backing out of your commitment to the Shiduchin. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chilek Aleph Siman Tzadi Aleph was asked a great shaila, and the name of the shoel is on the tshuva, so presumably he was asking for somebody else. What was the shaila? A girl was set up with someone's friend, and I guess this fellow's friend wants to know if it's mutter for him to pursue the girl. And so she's dating his friend, and he wants to know halachically, is it okay for him to pursue her? So Moshe says, "This is Igros Moshe Aleph Tzadi Aleph. B'dvar she'ilaso be'echot she'mishtadech le'eza nara, im mutter la'acher le'nasos le'hishtadech le'osa nara, she'gam hu rotze ba, im yesh b'zin oni mahach b'charara Allah." Okay, here by shidduch, Moshe just means that they were set up, not that they had formal engagement. And in halach we have a concept oni mahach b'charara. If you know that your friend is trying to purchase some real estate or some property, you shouldn't try to preempt him to it. Like, if you know he's after it, let him get it. Okay, anti-competition, not exactly free markets. So the Rav Moshe says, "V'hinei kol zman shelo hechlitu beineihem shenigmar hashiduch, shehu o hi mistapkin adayin be'etzem hadavar, im hu tov lefneihem, o af rak be'ezet tnoim b'inyonei mamon, ke'ilu efshar shelo yavu lidei gmar." He says, as long as they're still deliberating, whether it's for personal reasons or for financial reasons, whether they're going to go through and get engaged, so it's mutter for the friend to pursue her. Okay, even if they have a relationship over time. Why? He says, "Baruch shaleka din mahapich b'charara." Why? And then the imkain, "Kol shekain b'shiduchin, shekol zman shelo hechlitu ligmor ha'inyan mishnei hatzadim, ein bazed din mahapich b'charara l'kuli alma." Why? Until they actually agree to get engaged, until they have the engagement, she's open for pursuit. Why? She'ein lecha hefsed gadol mizeh she'tiya hanara muchreches lehinasei rak leharishon she'nishtadech la yishum she'naser lechol olam lisa. He's saying because the friend could bear such a loss, right? Once his friend gets engaged, he'll no longer have the ability to marry this girl. And everybody else will lose that ability. So it's such like a loss for him that until the deal is signed, he has the right to pursue her. Okay. Next paragraph. Aval im kvar hechlitu ligmor hashiduch. Did I just read this? Aval im kvar hechlitu ligmor hashiduch. Ach she'adayin lo nasa hakinyan she'noagin lasos bigmar shiduchin v'chadome. Let's say they agreed to get engaged, but they didn't yet get engaged. Talui zeb b'din hefker matani says this depends on how we interpret anya mahapi v'charara. He says there's a tzad to say that it's aser. There's a tzad to say it's mutter. And then he says leka b'shiduchin iser mahapi v'charara. The yesh k'peida gedola la'adam k'shirot z'bizu yosem v'vachero. Says, you know what? Even if they agree to get engaged, but they're not yet engaged, since, again, this friend would have such a loss if he can't pursue her, he's allowed to go after. Next paragraph. Aval kishenase hakinyan shenohagim. Now here, Dr. Stein, this is the... Do you need that formal signature on a shtar? Do you need them to proclaim, I swear I'll never back out of this? Or is engagement per se sufficient to be interpreted as a vow not to back out?
Engagement or
shiduchim? Engagement. Shiduchim. Meaning, it's not the tanayim that we read... Right, not the tanayim that we read at the chasen stish,
right.
And our Moshe is going to be explicit about that. Right, it's just engagement, tut kur, as we have them. Aval kshenasa hakinyan shenoagin, af shehakinyan lisa ze lo moel to have like a kinyan dvarim, as Mitch said, even though it's not like a halachic kinyan that's binding. Mikol makom asur mitzad hacherem sheyesh bebitul hashiduchim. There's like a vow not to back out of a shidduch. Ve'enol mitzad shehakinyan mahani laze. It's not that, you know, they're bound to each other such that no one else could pursue her. So it's not like the kinyan of getting engaged is what blocks someone else's right. It's just that that's the solidification of their das to get married. Right? If the norm was that a couple is only really engaged once they sign documents, lo have a hagmar ela b'ksivas hatanayim. So if the norm is that an engagement is to write a shtar with commitments, then that's the engagement. But if the norm is just to get up in public and have an engagement party of vort, then that is the commitment of shiduchim. Vilachin, im hechlitu ligmar hashiduchin, velo yasu shum davar lo kinyan velo ksivas tanayim, kimoshe noagin harbe bikan, like our custom, we just have engagements, we don't write out financial obligations at the shidduch, at the vort. Alzeh, levado yesh kvar chirem. That already bears with it a binding oath. Then in parentheses, umashe noagin harbe lichtov tanayim kshenes asva akrum lechupa, our minog to write the tanayim at the chasen says, eino klum le'inyan gemara shiduchim. That's meaningless with respect to what an engagement is. Kidechazinon shekvar hechinu kol davar lechupa, v'hotzihu harbe mamon. And he's a little Moshe says, well, we were right as the time under the chuppah. That's not really the engagement, because you already see that they already planned and paid for the wedding. The imkain asr la'achirim le'hishtadich la v'ligrim shetavar al'achirim. Okay? And then Moshe says, v'nimtza shemedina seinu kan, kishelo hisnu be'esh shehechlitu ligmor ha'inyan lasos klum. Our custom where we have engagements without binding obligations. Sheberov hapa'amim him kvar b'shem chasan v'kala tefek tekef acharei hachlatasam. Nowadays we consider them a chasan and kala the moment they commit to getting engaged at the vart. Af sheleka ha'isr mitzad mehapich b'charara, even though she's not really his in any like legal way, l'svara ha'yishona, yesh isr mitzad acherem. The vow for them to go through with the marriage is in place. But if they didn't yet, ach kishadayin lo pirsimu shehem chasan v'kala, if they didn't yet publicize that they're engaged, the ulai afim dina seinu kan lo nechshav gemar mamish, etc. So Moshe ultimately says that nowadays that our vorts simply are this public proclamation of them being engaged, that determines the cherem. That's when the vow goes into place, not the back out, even if it's not formally expressed. And therefore, from that moment in time, it becomes also for somebody else to try to pursue the kala.
Well, Moshe say, let's say I wanted to buy a piece of property. And I think about buying it. I'm going to do some due diligence.
Right, so Moshe,
I'm going to do some inspection.
So then it depends
and
on
anima. Meanwhile, some other year comes in and signs.
Right, so then it depends on anima hapech b'charara. Like if it's such a loss for him if he doesn't purchase it, then it'll be mutter. But if it's not such a big loss for him, then you have first dibs on it, halachically. Moshe is saying that shiduchin is more than that regular din, because for shiduchin, once you express the intention to get married, so I mean engage to be married, that itself creates the binding vow of the cherem.
The friend of the pursuer. It was such that he could do it.
Right? So he says no, he could only do that up before the engagement. So Moshe says, look, in a society where the engagement means signing documents about what each side is committing to, then a decision to get engaged is meaningless. A decision to get married is meaningless until you sign those documents, and then the friend could pursue her because he's going to incur such a loss. But in a society where the decision to get married is itself the engagement, right, it's when you publicly announce we're engaged to be married, right, the phrase itself is so ambiguous. What does it mean to be engaged to get married? It's very forward-looking.
Right.
So Moshe says that is what's binding for the cherem and the isser to back out, even if it's not expressed explicitly, and then it becomes usser for the friend to pursue.
I wonder, we didn't talk at all about giving an engagement ring.
Yeah, so right, that seems
that it would be more problematic.
Right. That seems to be like the quint. So if you give it after you're engaged, maybe it depends on the minute. Some people give it and say, oh, we're engaged.
Right.
Then it could be ambiguous. But what about, according to the Or Zeruah, that if you give a gift after you're engaged, and you say, oh, you know, will you marry me after you're engaged and give a ring, then you could construe that as a kiddushin according to the Arzurua, right? Yeah, but I think most people would say, oh, we're not choshesh for that Arzurua, so you don't have to worry about it. But that Arzurua, if you build up shiduchin in this way, then you could have like a real relationship, which will trigger any maisa afterwards that could be interpreted as a concern. Yeah. Because I hope this is a corrective on our view sometimes that engagement is just like a modern invention.